message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Supernatural Supplies Banquet is the title of today's service, and I'll be speaking on supernatural supplies. The wonders of supernatural supplies. I welcome you to this special banquet, and I know that in this banquet, God will give to you what you desire in Jesus' name. As a child of God, you have been designed to operate supernaturally. God's intention for you on a permanent basis is to enjoy the supernatural. In fact, the supernatural is your birthright. Your right is the supernatural. I will take care of the noise that is coming out from the feedbacks. That's God's design for you. To operate supernaturally. To enjoy supernatural blessings. And to live a supernatural life. And the supernatural is the answer for all impossibilities. In Psalms 82 verse 6, the Bible says, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So you are not an ordinary child. You are not an ordinary person. You were designed to operate supernaturally. And one of the ways that God wants you to operate, one of the areas that God wants you and I to operate supernaturally, is in the area of supplies. Somebody say supplies. God wants you to enjoy supplies. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here today, you have ever seen a father who says, I have three children, but I want three to be blessed, but I want one to be very poor. Or they have two children. You say, I desire that one is very rich, but the second one should be amazingly poor and come and beg from the other. Every father wants his child to enjoy the best. If a person has, or somebody came to me the course of the week, I think this week or last week, and said her mother had 10 children. I said, your mother really contributed to national population. One woman. 10 children. The woman is here now. A married woman. She said, our mother had 10 children. I said, your mother really tried. We should say well done to mommy for that. And I am very, very sure she wants all of them to be blessed. And I pray for somebody here today, no matter how many children are in your family, you will never be left out in the supplies. You will not be left out in the supplies. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, the Bible says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So our God is a supplier. He is a supplier to his children. He supplies them. He blesses them. He gives them their heart desires. He is a supplier. In Job 36 verse 11, in the book of Job, chapter 36, verse 11, the Bible says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. That is, every child of God is designed to live in prosperity and in pleasure. That will be your testimony. I say that will be your testimony. All our fathers were prosperous. Abraham was prosperous. The Bible says in Genesis 13, verse 2, that Abraham was rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. He was super blessed. He was rich in every area. He was rich in cattle. He was rich in silver. He was rich in gold. What left? Also, Isaac was blessed to the extent that his blessing provoked envy. Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 14. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. It is better to be envied than to be pitied. It is better for people to say, and I envy this person. Somebody say, oh, nonsense. I pity you. Yeah, take this 5 naira. That will never be your portion. It is better to be envied than to be pitied. Also, Jacob was super blessed. In Genesis 30 verse 43, the man was increasing. Laban wanted to suppress him, but God did not allow him. And the man increased exceedingly. You will increase exceedingly. Your business, your career, your vocation will increase exceedingly. If I were you, I would say louder, amen. He increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and ass. He had everything you can think of. He had cars. He had everything you can think of. He had the blessings of life. You will not lack the blessings of life. You will not lack the blessings of life. And everywhere Jesus went to, he terminated lack of supplies. Anywhere Jesus gets to and they don't have things, he supplies. In John chapter 2, from verse 1 to 7, you know the story of Jesus in Cana of Galilee at the wedding that he was invited to. And the Bible says that at a point the wine finished and Jesus said, oh yeah, get me those pots. And he said, fill them with water. And then he said, draw them out. And as they drew them out, they took it to the chairman of the ceremony. And they were surprised it had turned to wine. And Jesus said unto them, verse 7. And said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was turned, that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and was wondering, what's happening? Where did you get this kind of thing from? As I speak to you today, anything that represents lack of supplies be terminated in your life. Anything that represents lack of supply be terminated in your life. There's somebody here, a student. Your school fees is a challenge. It's a challenge. This same month of April, God is going to terminate that challenge. God is going to terminate that challenge. Supernaturally, you are going to get an alert that will solve that problem finally. Can I hear your loudest amen? Everywhere Jesus went to, he terminated lack. Anywhere there was no supply, he made supplies available. Anywhere they were struggling, once Jesus steps in, struggles exit. In Luke chapter 5 verse 1 to 7. Luke chapter 5 verse 1 to 7. There's a story of Peter there. The Bible says Jesus was in his boat. And he preached there for a while. And then Peter has struggled without fishes. And suddenly Jesus said, launch out again for a catch. And as he launched out again, the Bible says he caught multitude of fishes. Somebody that worked all night. His case was like the case of that young man that gave a testimony this morning. He had been struggling to sell his goods. He looked for investors to start the business, fully aware of when he started. And the investors invested in the business. He produced it. He did not eat the money. And then he had stock that was worth 4 containers. And there was nobody to buy. Until last Sunday, Jesus himself, the master supplier himself, walked in and brought buyers instantly. In this case of this Peter, Jesus repeated that same thing. Peter has struggled and struggled and struggled. Enough of your struggling from today. I say enough of your struggling from today. You see, you are working, it's not as if you are not working, but the work is not commensurable with the effort. The result is not in consonance with your work. You leave the house 7:30, return back 7:30 at night, yet pocketically you are empty. Enough is enough. Somebody say enough is enough. And the Bible says, he said to Peter, launch out, and he caught multitude of fishes. He had to beckon people to come and help them. You get to a level in your life whereby you are so blessed that you cannot manage your resources alone. You get to a level in your life that you need to employ hundreds and thousands of staff to come and help you. In your company, a staff, we have staff number 1,000. Another one, staff number 4,000. Another one, staff number 9,000. If you believe it, jump up and say, I receive it. Shout, I receive it. Everything that represents lack of supplies in anyone's life here this morning, be terminated in the name of Jesus. Be terminated in the name of Jesus. Be terminated in the name of Jesus. Your ideas shall produce something for you. There is no idea that cannot produce something. That business you are doing, there are millionaires there. That career you are doing, some are blessed there. And I decree in the name of Jesus, your case shall be very, very serious. Concerning your own case, it shall be a case of endless testimony. Take your seat. And somebody is here this morning, all these prophecies shall find quick expression in your life. What are the triggers for supernatural supplies? We'll take about 6 of them quickly this morning as God will give us time. Then we'll go to pray. What can trigger God to begin to supply you resources, to begin to bless you? Number one is right words. Right words. Your mouth can magnetize or repel your supplies. Your mouth can bring about the attraction of God's blessings to your life, and your mouth can push away blessings from your life. The greatest of all greatest miracles was the story of the creation in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 31. And everything happened through the mouth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Nothing was walking on the earth. Everything was dark. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. And God said. And you will see this going on. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, and God said. Genesis chapter 1 verse 6, and God said. And then, and God said, 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 until you and I were created, until fishes, firmament, everything was created. And God said. As threatening as death is to many people, the power of death is in the tongue. Proverbs 18 verse 21. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Death and life is in your tongue. We talked about that on Wednesday, where we were talking about health. Everything responds to sound. Supply responds to sound. Blessings responds to sound. Progress responds to sound. Fruitfulness responds to sound. Money responds to sound. When you see a man who is always talking down on the economy, when you see a woman who is always talking down her business, your business is late. Can this kind of business put food on one table? Is it possible? Is it possible for one to prosper in this nation? Is it possible for one to break through with all these problems? Such can never access supplies. The more you speak it, the more God will make sure that it happens for you. And quickly this morning, 4 reasons why you must not, why your words are important. 4 reasons why your words are important. I'm still on number 1 and I'm trying to move fast. That is 1A. 1A, that is 4 reasons why your words are important. Number 1A, God confirms your word. Isaiah 44:26. That confirmed the word of his servant and performed the counsel of his messenger. God confirmed the word of whatever you say, God confirm it. I spoke to that man by God's grace. I said, as God liveth, this week, that thing will be sold off. And immediately, everything was working out to make sure that what the servant of God said was confirmed. Listen, you are also a servant of God in your own little right. What you say, it will happen. That's why you cannot say wrong things. That's why you must not speak wrongly. 1B. Four reasons why your words are important. Angels go to work via your words. Your words put angels to work. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Don't allow your mouth to allow you to sin. Neither say thou before the angels that it was an error. That is, it was a miss. I didn't really mean it. Oh, angels don't hear. I don't really mean it. Hello? Angels don't hear. I didn't really mean it. There's nothing like that with angels. Angels don't hear. I was just joking. If this business crash, it crash none here. I will survive. I will be okay. And the business crash. Angels don't hear. I did not just mean it. Now, I want to ask you a simple question here this morning. Everybody look at me. If you have two house boys in your house, and you tell them, go and bring a knife for me. I want to try some things on myself. Maybe the knife will work. We go now. Will they go or will not go? They must go because you are in charge. You dispatch them. If you tell them, my tires outside, four tires, go and deflate one each now. You, Kunkudi, go and deflate left tire. You, Gurudi, go and deflate right tire. In front, they will not. Can they come and meet you and say, Daddy, what do you mean? No, I can't do it. No. That's the same way with angels. When you speak, angels will not need to, they will not argue with you. When you make pronunciations, they are dispatched immediately to go and execute. That's why you can't speak jagajagaciously. That's why you can't just talk nonsense. Because what you say, you have dispatched angels to go and execute your plan. Number three, why your words are important to your supply is because words are seeds. Someone says seeds. Your word is a seed. So when you speak, you have already sent a seed, and when you sow a seed, it must germinate. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. So when you sow that word must germinate something for you. That's why we're talking about the issue of health. The Bible says, let the weak say what? I am strong. Let the poor say that I'm what? I'm rich. Is the Bible lying? Is it that God is lying? God is not lying. What God is saying is that what you are saying that you want to see is what you should say. Don't speak your circumstance. Don't say, I am broke. Don't say, I am finished. Don't say it is over for me. Don't say such words. When you say it, you have sown a seed, and that seed must germinate. I don't have time, but when you get home, you can read Luke 8, verse 11 to 15. Number D, 1D. Four reasons why your words are important is that your words grant you freedom from oppression. Someone say freedom. In Psalms 18, verse 44 to 45, Psalms 18, 44 to 45, the Bible says, as soon as they hear me, they shall obey me, and strangers shall submit themselves unto me, and the strangers shall fade away, and be afraid out of their close places. As strangers hear you today, they will fade away out of your close places. Those holding on to your money, those holding on to your business, those holding on to your career, those holding on to your progress, they must leave it alone today. I said they must leave it alone today. That force that is holding on to your bank account, that is making it permanently at minimum balance, Enough is enough. I speak progress to all your accounts right now. I speak progress and progress to all your accounts right now. I speak progress to all your accounts right now. Let me hear your loudest amen. Your words grant you freedom from oppression. It grants you freedom from oppression. To the extent that you become an amazement, Luke 21:15. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom, which your adversary shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Luke 21:15. The kind of blessing and wisdom I will give to you, your adversaries will not be able to resist it. They will not be able to gainsay it. And they will not be able to resist it. If you are the person I'm praying for this one, let me hear your loudest amen. So number one trigger for the supernatural is talk right. Speak positively. I am blessed. I'm rich. I'm prosperous. I'm going forward. You have not yet gotten there, but that's the way you should speak. I'm a success. Every examination I write, the issue of cardio is not my portion. It's not my portion. I am lending unto nations. I am more than enough. I am walking in surplus. Scarcity is never my portion. Never. If they are sharing scarcity, you can't enter my house. And let your friends begin to wonder, what kind of person are you? Let them wonder, why are you talking like this? It's because you know in whom you believe. When you know in whom you believe, your talk is very, very confident. When you know in whom you believe, you become very confident in your words. Somebody is here today. You are going to have a testimony of supernatural supplies. Number two, trigger for supernatural supplies is divine presence. Exodus 33 verse 15. The presence of God is the terminator of oppression. He said, if thy presence go not with us, carry out not thence. If you don't go with us, that's Moses speaking. If you don't go with us, we cannot go forward. If the children of Israel want to move and you are not with us, we are not going anywhere. No wonder they enjoyed manna. No wonder they enjoyed miracle water. No wonder they did not fall sick. The presence of God is the exit of anything that is called lack. That's why you must crave for God's presence. That's why you must ensure that you don't lack His presence. A joyful life leads to a praiseful life, and a praiseful life leads to the attraction of God's presence. A joyful life, a praiseful life, ever praiseful, ever buoyant. No, there's no downtime in your spirit, makes God to abode with you and abide with you. And as from today, God's presence will be around you all the time. God's presence will be around your house all the time. God's presence will be around you all the time. God can't be in your house. He's present in your house. And then you are suffering and begging from the neighbors around you. The sign that you are begging shows that something is lacking. In my place. Hallelujah. They say you can't see the child of a king and not see the royalty of kingship on him. You can't see a child of God. An even ordinary governor. Can you see any governor whose child is walking around the street up and down, doing babiala here and there? No way. No way. Child of a governor. Even a counselor. Not to talk of the child of the King of Kings. The small God himself. I want your walk to be different. All this walking so as if you are walk with dignity, and because you know who you believe. Your hands will never touch the bottom of your pocket. I say your hands will never touch the bottom of your pocket. I came here this morning with a brutal prophetic anointing. And as my God liveth, every day of your life, you'll be enjoying supplies. Every day of your life, you'll be enjoying supplies.
Your children will be enjoying supplies. Your business will be enjoying supplies. Your career will be enjoying supplies. Your destiny will be enjoying supplies. Whatever you touch must work. Your business must work. Your ministry must work. Your career must work. Anything you touch must turn to gold. Anything you touch must work out. The days of your business closing down is over. Every business you start will grow. Every business you start will prosper. Every career you are in will blossom. Your presence in that office will shift the turnover. Shout amen. Take your seat. The presence of God brings about a change of story anytime, any day. Number three, trigger for the supernatural supplies is soul winning. Someone say soul winning. I know many of us don't like this. In Matthew 28:19-20, Matthew 28:19-20, God gave us that mandate. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Soul winning always brings you into favor with God. Favor with God always launches you into supply from God. God always pays everyone who wins souls. He pays you. 1 Corinthians 3:8. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one. And everyone shall receive his own reward. Someone say reward. So there is a reward for everyone so you win. That's why you must not be in church and just come to church on your own every time alone. You do all you can, all the available means. Prayer. Going out on your own. Going out in the cell. Going out with the church. If you have the finance, you can even buy a bus for outreach. You can buy a pickup to carry the generators while we go out on outreach. Anything you can do that will make the kingdom of God to be populated and the kingdom of darkness will be depopulated. Once you do it, you qualify for reward. Every soul winner is a man or woman of supplies. Soul winning has so many advantages. It also makes you shine. In Daniel 12:13, if you are a soul winner, you shine. Your business shines because you are doing well. Daniel 12:13. And I say, somebody here today, you are going to shine. I say, you are going to shine. Sorry, Daniel 12:3. Daniel 12:3. Beg your pardon. 12:3. Thank you, Jesus. 3. 1, 2, 3. And they be wise. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. Somebody say stars. As the stars. So when you are a soul winner, you have become a star. The reason why it seems as if many are Christians, but there is nothing to show for their Christianity, is because they are not soul winners. Your being in the choir or in the usher or in the prayer team does not exclude you from soul winning. Soul winning is for every Christian who desires supplies. Every child of God, you are influencing people in your office to come to God. You are not condemning them because there are some people who want to go to anywhere. They start condemning. The way I see you, you are dead in 7 days and you are going to Empire Street. The person will say, yeah, let me go. I want to go now. You don't preach like that. You encourage them to come out of that life and you show them the kind of life that you can see that can change their life. You share your experiences, life story. And then you see their life being transformed. Don't stay in the church 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months without having, you cannot count people that God has used you to bring and establish in that church. This is what makes people to lack supplies. The more souls you win, the more supplies you enjoy. Also, when you are a soul winner, the supplies you enjoy comes as a result of answered prayer. John 15:16. Your prayers are quickly answered if you win souls. John 15:16. For you, have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go. Somebody say go. That's why God chose you. He did not choose you to sit. You are not chosen to sit. Neither are you chosen to dance alone. He chose us, you and I, to go and bring forth fruit. And that the fruit should remain. Don't bring souls and they disappear. You have not won any soul. When you bring the soul, you work on them to be established. You pray for them. You follow them up to remain. Go back to that verse. Thank you, Jesus. Then remain that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. When you are a soul winner, it's not a problem because the Bible says whatsoever. Listen, if you are winning souls and you lack money, pray with this scripture. You lack supplies. You lack help. Say, I'm a soul winner. You say, if I win soul, my soul remain. Okay, I'm winning souls. God will not even allow you to get to the point where you are quoting this kind of scripture before he would have blessed you. He will not wait. Because God is not a man that you should lie. Now that I see the son of man that you should repent. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 35. So, our God is so faithful. And I see somebody here. I see your story changing in the name of Jesus. God is not a respecter of persons. And he's going to make a way for you today in Jesus' name. Number four. Trigger for supernatural supplies. I said number one is what? Right words. Number two. Divine presence. Number three. Soul winning. And number four is a prudent lifestyle. A prudent lifestyle attracts supplies. Proverbs 21 verse 20. Proverbs 21 verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish spended it all. If you look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 verse 11 downward, you will see the story of a wasteful boy. Went to his father. Two sons. One went to the father, give me what belongs to me, and the father gave it to him. And the Bible says he went into righteous living. He started carrying girlfriends. He started carrying harlots. He started throwing parties in all the major hotels in the nation. He was popping champagne. Oh, they pop champagne. He was popping champagne. He was doing like a sharp boy. Sharp guy. And that same knife that he was using that was sharp cut him. Because eventually he was begging for pig food. He was begging for pig food. He didn't have what to eat. He didn't have what to drink. Every wasteful person will always end in lack. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says after he finished, he said, gather up the fragments. Gather up the baskets. And there were 12 baskets extra. He didn't say, no, waste. Go and pour the rest. Go and pour it for the dogs. Or go and destroy it. Go and. He said, gather them up. There's what to give dogs. Yes, if you have a pet in the house, that's okay. That's not a waste. But I'm saying a life whereby you throw things away. Nothing matters. Everything thrown to the trash. Everything trashed. A wasteful man has no future. A wasteful man. In Proverbs 18 verse 9. Proverbs 18. He said, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. There is a collaboration and a connection between somebody that wastes money and somebody that is a lazy man. They are friends. A lazy man and a wasteful man, they are from the same womb. That's why you must not waste resources. Can't you count how much has come to your hand this year alone? If you are a kind of person that every profit that comes to you, you squander it. You eat it. Chicken suya. Meat suya. Donut. Chicken peri peri. Snails. Gizzards. Even lizards. Rato barate bezizia karaboda sin kalabarera leruche kitalia lalaya, including pigs, porks. When we were kids, when our grandmother wants to abuse us, say, is it your mouse that they used to take to Oyo? Eh? Shey, is it your mouth they used to take to Oyo? That is, everything just goes to the mouth. Everything just goes to the... A man or woman that doesn't know how to save is not safe. If every profit that comes to your hand is for blowing, it's as if something is always scratching your hand to spend money. Nothing can be kept in the purse or in the bank account. If you know that you are so crazy of spending, why can't you give it to your husband or your wife to keep for you so that you don't spend? A man or woman who is not prudent will never become anything in life. That's why supplies never go to those who just spend it anyhow. You must be prudent in your spending. You must have a percentage for spending. You must have a percentage for saving. You are looking at 1 year and several months, money is flowing, and you say there's no money. And money is flowing to your hands every day. There was a particular place, a particular country where there were few rich men and there were plenty poor people. So the poor people said, we are going to kill all these rich men. They are cheating us. They are the one doing this. They are the one doing that. I want economy. They are doing so well. Their businesses are growing. What kind of nonsense is this? They went to the king. Said, all the riches of these rich men. Oh yeah, let us share them. So they shared all the money. All the rich men emptied their accounts. They shared all the money between the poor and the rich. Immediately each poor person got their share. They faced the market straight for spending. Brand new cars. Married 3 new wives at the same day. Work, but that changed more than 7 times. One will go and bring his mother that has died 25 years ago. He's turning the back of the mother. It's only in Nigeria or places like that we see such. Where somebody's mother has died more than 50 years. Yeah, I want to turn the back of my mother. Whereas when the mother was alive, the mother never tasted anything that was from him or her. And after 1 year, all the poor people came back to their former poverty. All the rich people went back to their former rich state. Why? The poor, their mentality of wastefulness took them back to poverty. The rich, the investment mentality took them back to riches. So if your desire is to enjoy supplies, you have to be investment conscious. You have to be investment conscious. Listen to me. If you are earning millions of naira and you are still in a rented apartment, you are a fool. You are a fool. Because it means that you are not, by now you should be building. By now you should buy a land. By now you should be doing something. A prudent man. I see people in some places, even in Lorry here, rent very expensive houses. I once had a friend. My wife knows the person very well. We used to work together in Guarantee Trust Bank many years ago. When they give us money, it will squander his own. And then we started doing some little projects. And years later, I don't know if he has built a house now. This is more than God knows how many years now. If you are not a prudent person, then you don't have a future. You have to be prudent. You have to be. Turn to your neighbor and say, be prudent. So every habit of waste be terminated in every life here today. Every habit of waste be terminated here today. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? If you are driving a car that is so expensive, a car of 5 million or 6 million or even 4 million, and you are in a rented apartment, you are a fool. You are a fool. You are driving a car. It means you are driving your house. You are driving your house. Let me leave this one so that we can move. You have to be prudent. You can't be in a church like this and wisdom cannot be speaking for you. In a ministry like this And then you are not, when you talk wisdom. When you take steps, it's a wisdom step. From today, everybody will see God in you. I need to be very fast now. Number five, trigger for supplies. Trigger for supplies is covenant practice. Someone say covenant practice. Covenant practice always leads people to supplies and abundance. The foundation for covenant is tithing. When you tithe, men may be dethroned. Businesses may close down. Lives may be trashed, but you will be going up. Tithing is a covenant responsibility, just like tax is a civic responsibility. Just as you pay tax as a civil responsibility to government, you give God the tithe. You are not doing God a favor. My church doesn't say thank you for paying your tithe. Nobody will thank you for paying your tithe. It's up to you to be in the covenant with God or not. Because it is God's own. Now listen to me. Important things to know about the tithe. I just give you a few. Number one, tithe is holy unto the Lord. Leviticus 27:30. Tithe is holy unto the Lord. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So everything you give as tithe is holy unto the Lord. Number two, important thing to know about tithe is tithe belongs to God. Malachi 3:10a. God is the one that owns tithe. He's not pastor that owns tithe. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So God is the one that owns the tithe. Number three, important thing to know about tithing is that tithe is paid in church but received by Jesus himself. Hebrews 7:8. Tithe. He says, and here men that die receive tithe. That is, people in church receive the tithe. But there is he that receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Men here receive the tithe, but it's not them that's actually receiving your tithe. Jesus is the one actually receiving the tithe. And number four, important fact about the tithe is that non-tithers attract curses. Malachi 3:8-9. A non-tither is trying to tell God, stop my supplies. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So bring ye all the tithe into my storehouse, and there may be meat in my house. Now, because of time, I can't go into all that. We have heard this message, this kind of thing, many, many times. But the truth is that some of us, our story is like the children of Israel. In if I remember very well, Exodus 32:9-10. The Bible says, they are stiff-necked. I just remember that now. They are stiff-necked. That is, they refuse. Good. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. They forget it. Say your worst. Let God do his worst. I'm not going to be in covenant with him. And that's why things have continued to continue the same way. There's personal tithe. There's corporate tithe. If you have a business, your business should tithe its income to provoke God in what he's doing. That's why this ministry moves effortlessly. There is no pressure on anybody. Why? The covenant that this ministry is under. That is the covenant of tithing, particularly. So if you want to enjoy supplies, key yourself into tithing and let it be consistent. Let it be consistent. Let it be consistent. Whatever God has blessed you with, give him his own portion so that the rest can blow up. So that the rest can expand in your hands. So that devourers will not have a way. From today, devourers will never have their way in your life. I said devourers will never have their way in your life. Devourers will never have their way in your life. Non-payment of tithe is beckoning on devourers. Is beckoning on devourers. And that will never be anybody's portion here today in Jesus' name. So your consistency, your tithing will change your life. Sometimes I look back and I can see and I can count and I can see so much of the glory of God, and I can tell you this issue of tithing is a paramount thing that I can see as a major reason. It's a major thing I can point to. I remember very well that when I became consistent in this practice many, many years ago, the paradigm changed, the level changed. From one level to another, from one level to another, from one level to another. And as from today, God is going to change your level from one level to another. God will change your level from one level to another. Can I hear your loudest amen? Or you continue with your stiff neckedness. You have an option. Number six, where we stop today. How can you continue to trigger supernatural supplies? A grateful lifestyle. A grateful lifestyle. In Psalm 67, verse 5 to 7. Psalm 67, verse 5 to 7 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield. Someone say yield. That supplies. Every God praiser is a candidate of supplies. Is a candidate for yield. Then shall the earth yield and increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. And God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When you are a God praiser, not a God complainer, not a person who is ashamed of God or not happy with God, you enter into supplies. Every time you are in praise, you have not seen anything that God has not done good. For you know that everything works together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So every time your mouth is lifted in praise, people are asking you, well, how come you are always happy? Those are the kind of people that enjoy supplies. But those who are always moody, who always do as if they are the only all the problem of Nigeria on their head. God said, these kind of people, I cannot do anything for them. I can't help them. I can't change their life. So if you are here this morning and you are always moody, you need to change your style. You need to change your style. You need to change your style. You need to give him praise with joyfulness always. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore, thou shalt serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in all want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. Somebody say, God forbid. He said, if you don't praise me, if you don't thank me every day when you wake up, if you do as if I'm a bad person, he said, I will make sure that hunger, thirst, nakedness is not scanty around that person. But that will never be your portion. As from today, you wake up with joy. As from today, you speak with praise. As from today, when you and your husband are talking, you talk appreciating God. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God for what he has done. We thank God for what he has done. You see, there is nothing that has happened to you that's never happened to anybody before. So relax. There is nothing new under the sun. There is no condition that has happened to you that is peculiar to you. Tell me one. Anything that has happened to you, you must always return the glory back to him. That's how God has made it. Bible says, in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning who? Me. Concerning who? Me. So everything, gratitude. And when you keep thanking him, the more you'll be seeing yourself increasing. Your business will be increasing. Your career will be increasing. Money will be increasing. All you are looking for will be increasing. You'll be enjoying supply in every facet. There's somebody here today, in every sector and segment of your life, you will never lack again. Yeah. Supplies will be coming for you. Those that forgot you will remember you. Amen. Where you have been forgotten, you will be remembered. Amen. Your money that is hanging somewhere shall be returned today. Amen. Your money that is hanging somewhere shall be returned today. Amen. Your money that is hanging somewhere shall be returned today. Why? Because you are grateful. Once you are always grateful, it shows that you are not a great fool. My prayer for everyone here today is that these triggers will work for you.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.